Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The 21st Commonwealth Games begin Wednesday on the Gold Coast of Australia. The opening and closing ceremonies for the International Sports Festival will be held at Carrara Stadium in Queensland, which also will be the venue for the athletics competition. Athletics is what Commonwealth Games officials describe as one of the 10 core sports at Gold Coast 2018. The others are badminton, boxing, field hockey, lawn bowls, netball, rugby sevens, squash, swimming, and weightlifting. In addition to those sports, there will be action in basketball, beach volleyball, cycling, gymnastics, shooting, table tennis, triathlon, and wrestling. Benoit Mbala, a.k.a. Big Ben Mbala, is a member of Cameroon's Commonwealth Games basketball team. And Big Ben says the squad is optimistic of winning a medal at Gold Coast 2018.
We're not a weak team, so there's no pressure. We just have focus, not pressure, just focus. Because we know we're going to do great. I mean, that's why we got great coaches, and that's why we put in the work we do. It's not so much as pressure as focus. So it's not pressure, it's more focus than pressure.
Big Ben Mbala and Cameroon are grouped with England, India, and Scotland in Pool B for the preliminary round in the Commonwealth Games men's basketball tournament. Cameroon will play India in its opening game on Wednesday. Nigeria is the other African team in the men's basketball competition. The Nigerians are in Pool A with Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. And Nigeria will play New Zealand in its first game on Thursday. The gold medal game in men's basketball will be played on April 15th, the final day of the Commonwealth Games. More than 6,500 athletes from about 70 countries, including 18 African nations, are expected to participate in the games. The captain of Uganda's Commonwealth Games boxing team is Shadir Musa, who will fight in the welterweight division. He says the Ugandan Bombers, as the team is nicknamed, have had good preparation for Gold Coast 2018.
I've been seeing my colleagues going, and they perform well. Since they started, they have been getting medals, like medals of Commonwealth from boxing. And now we are ready. We know that we have that legacy, and still we can make it.
Boxer Shadir Musa is one of 69 athletes Uganda sent to Australia for the Commonwealth Games, which officially open on Wednesday in Queensland. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African football news, Uganda defeated visiting South Sudan over the weekend 5-1 in a qualifying match for next year's Africa Under 20 Cup of Nations tournament. The young bright stars of South Sudan now face an uphill battle at home in Juba, where the return leg will be played against the Ugandan boys. Reporter Magumi Davis Rakawinge filed this post-match report from Uganda's capital, Kampala.
The young bright stars started an attack and were the first to record a shot on the Ugandan goalpost during the 6th minute of the first half. But Uganda's Mustafa Mujuzi was the first to score 28 minutes into the game. The South Sudan team mounted pressure on the Ugandan team, and Mustafa scored an own goal to tie it up in the first half. South Sudanese young bright stars fans live in Kampala as businessmen, refugees and students, and turned up to watch the weekend match. As the first half drew to a close, it looked as if the match could end in a 1-1 draw until the experienced Ugandans scored another goal a little over an hour into the game. But the young Bright Stars were forced to play without any substitutes because most of its team players were over age and therefore ineligible to play. That proved to be their downfall. The Ghanaian team scored 4 goals during the second half, despite playing 10 men after Chiza Mustafa received a red card and was sent out of the game. Tut Awach, the captain of the young Bright Stars, who plays for Juba-based Amarat FC, says by the second half, the players were exhausted, adding most arrived in Kampala on Friday, leaving them little time to prepare.
We are going to put more effort, at least to put more effort, at least we do something. Because home always is home. We say football is football. And football changed. But now we're going to fight hard and train hard so that we turn all this down.
South Sudan will need at least 4 goals to nil to qualify for the next round. Ugandan coach Matia Lule says he's happy his team won, but he won't underestimate the South Sudanese when the two teams meet again in Juba.
The game is not yet over. A big number of people can think that the game is gone. The moment you go with that mind, the game can overturn. But we are going in Southern Sudan to look for another goals, to see the way how we can overcome.
Football fan, a coach Peter Garang, who came out to Rugogo Stadium to support his countrymen, says the most important thing is that his team is learning.
What they did was the best they could give. Just hope we're going to build on next time. This is football. It's just all about upgrading the game, and yeah, we can still challenge for this. So we're just hoping to see what happens next, because every team comes with a different challenge and every match is a challenge. And we just hope to build on and, you know, improve.
Uganda is ranked 78th out of the 211 FIFA member associations and is ranked 17th in Africa, while South Sudan, who joined FIFA in 2006, is ranked 150th in the world and is 45th in Africa. Ait Abdel Malik heads the South Sudan sports delegation. He says his team will be prepared for the next match.
I'm sure 100%. The next game, we will defeat Uganda. I'm sure 100%. Also, it is the first time for South Sudan to participate in champion under 20. But we are sure that our football next time will be better than this one.
Should South Sudan overturn the scores, they play against Cameroon in the next round. The next match takes place in Juba 2 weeks from now. For VOA News, I am Mogume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mogume. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. They're playing back. In U.S. men's college basketball, the Wildcats of Villanova defeated the Wolverines of Michigan Monday night 79-62 in San Antonio, Texas, to win the national title. For some social media reaction to Villanova's championship, here's my VOA colleague Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny! I will begin by reading an official tweet from Villanova University posted Monday night. It reads, Villanova University and Villanova Law will be closed Tuesday, April 3rd. This no doubt comes in part because students are still celebrating on campus and got no sleep last night. Video posted on social media shows that after Villanova's win over Michigan, cheering students spilled on campus to celebrate, setting off fireworks and several bonfires near the campus. But mostly it was cheering and dancing and tweeting, summed up by this simple line, Villanova has taken over. This was Villanova's second national championship in 3 years, and the win places Coach Jay Wright among only 3 active coaches to have won multiple national titles. The others are Duke's Mike Krzyzewski and North Carolina's Roy Williams. When asked about his inclusion as an Elite Three, Wright is quoted as saying, I certainly do not, I'll tell you honestly, count myself in that category. I still like looking up to them. I do. I enjoy it better that way. After the championship win, Jay Wright personally thanked the Michigan team and their coach, tweeting, "We have tremendous respect for Coach John Beilein and the entire University of Michigan basketball program. It was an honor to share the court with them tonight." And I need to shine a spotlight on Villanova's Jalen Brunson. Even before the championship game, Brunson was named the Associated Press College Basketball Player of the Year and the first player at Villanova to be awarded the Naismith Player of the Year trophy. After winning the national title, Brunson said, quote, "I really cannot put this into words at all. I just love my brothers. I love my team. I love the Villanova Nation." The champions of Villanova are returning home today, Tuesday, to their campus near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Moving on to golf news, the highly anticipated return of Tiger Woods ahead of the U.S. Masters is topping headlines, with some favoring him to win. American pro golfer Bubba Watson spoke at a Masters press conference and said Tiger's return to Augusta is great for a new generation of fans.
Some of these kids that are participating on Sunday, yesterday, you know, they've never got to see Tiger Woods that we've all got to see. So for him being healthy, I mean, that's, as a friend, you want him healthy. And as a competitor, you want him healthy. So, yes, there's nothing but great things when he's healthy. I mean, what he's been able to do with the on and off the course to help the game of golf and help young people, you know, being on course and winning again is going to just help that many more people love the game of golf, but also help in different many ways throughout the world.
At the same press conference, Australian Jason Day also spoke about the Tiger effect.
He's an entertainer for sure. I don't know how he does these finishes, and like if I tried to finish, he'd probably hit a tree, but like he's able to kind of get it out and do these wonderful finishes out of the trees and stuff like that. And he's, you know, coming back, you know, talking about how when he came back the first two times and he wasn't ready because his short game was struggling with his chipping a little bit. His short game is his game. You know, obviously his driving's not the greatest, but once he's on the fairway, he hits unbelievable iron shots. And if he doesn't, then he's everyone likes seeing the big flop shot and no one likes to see that little chip shot. And he does those big flop shots and holds those big long putts and makes things exciting. So that's my little take on Tiger.
Tiger Woods has won 14 majors, the second of all time behind Jack Nicklaus, who won 18. The Masters begins this Thursday in Augusta, Georgia. And that's all for now, Sonny. Back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. For more on Villanova's second national title in 3 years in U.S. men's college basketball, we're joined once again by sports reporter Dan Friedel. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Sonny. It's good to be here again. I'm happy we've been able to follow the progress of this tournament that consumes the minds of American sports fans for almost a month. And while it wasn't the most competitive final game, it certainly was a strong performance by Villanova.
And our colleague Gwen Uten, she read a tweet sent out on the official Villanova account, Dan, which I kind of like. Villanova has taken over. And one of the players key in Villanova taking over, Jalen Brunson. Talk about him and maybe some of the other instrumental players for Villanova winning the national title.
Well, Brunson was the national player of the year in college basketball, but he only had 9 points in the game last night, which after the game he said was no big deal. He would rather just get 9 points in the game and see his team win the championship. You know, Brunson is a player who we could see in the NBA sometime soon. I think he's regarded as a really strong team leader, and he's actually quite physically strong on the court too for, you know, for a point guard. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him have a successful NBA career, but the real star of the game was the sixth man for Villanova, Dante DiVincenzo, who shot 5 out of 7 from the three-point line, 10 out of 15 overall, and led the Wildcats with 31 points. DiVincenzo has really blossomed in the tournament, and he was named the most outstanding player of the Final Four.
If we look back 2 years, Dan, Villanova won another national title, also in Texas. That one was in Houston. And that game was much closer when they defeated North Carolina. Compare the two squads. Is this a better Villanova team than that one that lifted the trophy in 2016?
You know, I was looking at some of the you know, 2 years on, how some of those players from the team have done in their careers. And two of the key players, Chris Jenkins, who made the game-winning shot against North Carolina, and the one of the offensive leaders of the team, his first name escapes me right this second, but Archie Diacono was his last name, a unique last name. Both have made an attempt to make it in the NBA, but they're kind of in between. They're playing a little bit with the developmental league, and this Villanova team, I think, is probably stronger overall. We might see some of the players move on to have longer-term careers in the NBA. The interesting thing about this year's team and Dante DiVincenzo is he didn't play in the game 2 years ago. He had a knee injury, and he missed most of the season that year as a freshman. But he actually was healthy enough to practice with the team later in the season. And if you remember, Buddy Hield was one of the key players for Oklahoma that year, an outstanding outside shooter. And DiVincenzo was able to do a great job of mimicking Hield's style of play and practice. It really helped Villanova defeat Oklahoma in the game that got them into the championship game against North Carolina. So he was given a lot of credit by players like Jenkins after the game last night for helping that team win the championship. And therefore, the Wildcats of Villanova are in select company as a team that has won two national titles within 3 years. The last time it happened was about 10 years ago with the University of Florida winning back-to-back national titles.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with Dan Friedell about Villanova winning its second national title in 3 years in U.S. men's college basketball. Dan, earlier, Gwen Uten mentioned Jay Wright, the head coach of Villanova. After you win the trophy like this, do you think recruiting becomes a lot easier?
Well, surely it does. I mean, Villanova has a legacy going back to the 1980s when they defeated Georgetown to win their first championship. And every few years, Villanova has a star player in the NBA. I mean, you think about a guy like Kyle Lowry from Villanova, who's a key player for the Toronto Raptors the last few years. And I was reading an interesting story about what has been a key element of Villanova's success the last couple of seasons. And Jay Wright and his assistant coaches have talked about that legacy over and over again. And if you were listening to the post-game comments from the players this year, they basically said, you know, we're here because of all the effort of the players that came before us, and we're representing those players every time we go out on the floor. And I think that's been a key to their success, is kind of the continuity between those teams from the 1980s and Raleigh Massimino, who was their dynamic coach back then, who kind of helped Villanova get onto the national scene, and moving toward the modern era where Jay Wright has been the coach. And, you know, they really keep that in mind. And it sounds like Wright has a good plan for building a team that's not just a team of high school all-stars who are probably thinking about going to the NBA after one season. You know, you look at players like Brunson, who, you know, he was a strong high school player in Chicago, but he wasn't the kind of player who was going to go to the NBA after one season. And that's all part of that continuity conversation where you have a mix of players who probably have NBA aspirations, and you have players who are just thrilled to be a part of the program and develop for a couple of years. It's a good combination.
And while Villanova lifting the trophy in San Antonio capped a big weekend of college basketball, it wasn't the only basketball story coming out of San Antonio. A 13-member class of 2018 was announced for the Basketball Hall of Fame in San Antonio. And headlining the list, Steve Nash, Jason Kidd, and Grant Hill, all former stars in the NBA, as well as three other former star players, Ray Allen, Maurice Cheeks, and Charlie Scott. Dan, I'd like to give a special Sunny Side of Sports salute to Charlie Scott. When I was growing up in Norfolk, Virginia, I remember watching Charlie play for the Virginia Squires in the now defunct ABA. Your thoughts on Charlie and maybe a few others of those Basketball Hall of Famers?
Yeah, you know, Charlie Scott is the kind of player who deserves to be immortalized at the Naismith Hall of Fame in Massachusetts. Five-time All-Star with 15,000 combined points in the ABA and the NBA. You know, those are the kinds of players who are sort of forgotten by the "what have you done for me lately" atmosphere
exactly.
in sports these days.
Exactly.
And, you know, there are all sorts of players. I mean, it makes a good trip to the Hall of Fame just to kind of get a sense of the history and the timeline of these major sports organizations and kind of a chance to see maybe the more humble beginnings. I mean, the NBA is seen in every city and every country around the world these days, thanks to the advent of streaming video and satellite services. But back in the 60s and 70s, the NBA was more of a blue-collar league where the players were not multimillionaires. So it's good to see that those players are still getting recognized. But, of course, another Sunny Side of Sports shout-out to Steve Nash, who's a native of South Africa, even though he's somebody who grew up in Canada and I think has a deep affiliation with Canada. Can't forget that he had an outstanding career in the NBA and he was born in South Africa.
Where would you rate Steve Nash, Dan, among basketball's point guards?
Well, considering he was a multi-time MVP winner in 2005 and 2006, and he really was one of these guys. I mean, you have to consider that he was a bridge between a player like John Stockton and maybe a player like Steph Curry today. He was an offensive wizard, really. He was capable of scoring and assisting, running a dynamic offense in Phoenix. Certainly the kind of guy who helped move the NBA forward during his time in the league and, you know, certainly deserving of being in the Hall of Fame along with other top-level point guards like a contemporary of his, like Jason Kidd, who wasn't quite the dynamic scorer that Nash was, but also put a lot of attention toward the playmaker on the court and not just the scorers.
And at the collegiate level, Dan, we have about 30 or 40 seconds left in the show. Your thoughts on Lefty Driesell getting inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame?
I was listening to a local conversation about Driesell, and he certainly came to prominence in the 1980s while he was coaching the University of Maryland in College Park. It's on a good day, maybe a 30-minute drive from VOA's studios in D.C., and you know, Driesell was a controversial character in some ways. He was part of the development of the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference, becoming a go-to conference for college basketball in the U.S. Certainly deserving of some attention, and nice to see that he got the honor. He's an old man now, so it's nice to see that he's able to appreciate something like that before the very last part of his life.
Thanks, Dan, and that wraps up the April 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On March 12th, Côte d'Ivoire's Ministry of Health and Public Hygiene hosted its inaugural meeting in Abidjan on the strategic direction of the first nationwide study on the impact of HIV, which has involved more than 20,000 individuals to date. The study, called the Côte d'Ivoire Population-Based HIV Impact Assessment, or CIFIA, aims to test a national representative sample of Ivoirians and then use statistical models to measure the current HIV epidemic in Côte d'Ivoire. The CIFIA is funded by the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, known as PEPFAR. Côte d'Ivoire is one of the up to 13 countries poised to achieve HIV/AIDS epidemic control by 2020 under a recent PEPFAR acceleration strategy. The CIFIA Steering Committee meeting provided strategic direction and oversight of the study, which began in August 2017. About 11,000 households have participated thus far and provided blood samples. Preliminary results of the CIFIA are expected by December 2018. These assessments are complex undertakings, and I applaud the high-level commitment and engagement of so many important stakeholders, said U.S. Embassy's chargée d'affaires Catherine Brucker. Representatives from U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, attended the meeting at the invitation of Minister of Health and Public Hygiene, Dr. Ramond Goudou Kofi, who leads the committee and was represented at the meeting by his chief of staff. At the meeting, the CDC country director explained that, when completed, CIFIA will help Côte d'Ivoire better target its HIV prevention and treatment efforts. She also commended the ministry for its leadership and expertise. Representatives from the National Institute of Statistics and the World Health Organization also provided opening remarks at the meeting. Lesotho, Malawi, Swaziland, Uganda, Zambia, and Zimbabwe have completed similar PEPFAR-supported population-based HIV impact assessments in the past 18 months. The CDC and other stakeholders, including ICAP at Columbia University, are also assisting governments with these studies. The United States and Côte d'Ivoire have a long-standing partnership on public health that goes back more than 30 years, said chargé d'affaires Brucker. We know good data are essential to achieving HIV/AIDS epidemic control, so I am encouraged by these productive discussions on how CIFIA results can be useful.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
I'm Lenore Moudou, host of Health Chat. World Health Worker Week is April 2nd to April 6th, and next week we will discuss the global health worker shortage with Dr. Vanessa Carey, founder of Seed Global Health. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we continue our discussion about presidential transitions on the continent. We'll take a closer look at Sierra Leone, where a troubled runoff is underway. Sierra Leone's Supreme Court approved the Election Commission's request to delay the runoff presidential vote after the lifting of an interim injunction that had stalled preparations.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.